Welcome to everybody here and welcome to everybody online watching. We're glad to have you in our study of Ezekiel. This is the third week for this class. Just a few questions by way of review. Where is Ezekiel? Babylon? Did somebody say Babylon? All right, he's in Babylon. Who's he with? He's with the exiles. What exiles? Who can tell me a little bit about that? Why are Israelis in Babylon? They have been naughty. Got on the naughty list. And God sent the Babylonians after them. So that's why they are there. The first chapter, which we covered last week, what does Ezekiel see? And if you want to describe what he sees in one word, you could do that. There are a couple different words you could use, but either one of those. The whole first chapter is about this. He sees God, but he sees the glory of God. If you look at verse 28, chapter 1, verse 28. As the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking, and then we went on from there. So we're going to start in chapter 2 this morning and go down through verse 3. That's the first section in the worksheet. Who would like to read that? Anybody want to read? Anybody else need a cough drop? All right, Jake's got it. It's chapter 2, all of chapter 2, down through verse 3 of chapter 3.
Then he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet that I may speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. Then he said to me, "Son of man, I am sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. And I am sending you to them who are stubborn and obstinate children. You shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' as for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, neither fear them nor fear their words. Though thistles and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions, neither fear their words nor be dismayed at the presence, for they are a rebellious house. But you shall speak my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are rebellious. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like a rebellious house. Open your mouth and listen to what I am giving you. Then I look, behold, hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When I spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning and woe. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll, which I am giving you." Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Keep in mind, we're still in his vision. He starts out with a vision in the first part of chapter 1. He's got a vision of God and the glory of God being upheld. You remember the cherubim or the cherubim? Cherubim is simply plural for cherubs. They're underneath this expanse and above the expanse. Remember what's above the expanse? Something like a throne. And somebody was on the throne with the appearance of a man. And everything was gleaming, bright and shiny. And so that's his vision of God. And now God speaks to him. This is chapter 2, is Ezekiel's commission. This is what God is calling him to do. So the first line of our worksheet, the Lord. And we know it's the Lord because it starts, that's what he says in chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord calls Ezekiel blank, blank, blank. Son of man. As God speaks to Ezekiel, the blank enters him. The spirit. God tells him that he is sending him to a blank people. Rebellious. You picked up on that, did you? He only says it about 500 times. Just wait till you get through the rest of the book. He also tells Ezekiel that whether they blank or not, whether they listen or not, they will know that a blank has been among them. Prophet. In his vision, Ezekiel is given a scroll and told to blank it, eat it. On the scroll were written blank, 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 and blank. Lamentations. Everybody know what a lamentation is? There's a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations, and it's about the same thing. Some of what he had was probably written right in this. Mornings, we all know what mornings are, woes, woe is me. Yet it was as blank in his mouth. Sweet as honey. It sounds strange, at least it does to me, it may not sound strange to you. Oh yeah, we eat things sweet as honey all the time, but you probably don't eat scrolls that are sweet as honey. But that's what God is showing us in Ezekiel's vision. What do you think is the significance of God giving him a scroll and having him eat that scroll? Any ideas? By the way, you can be wrong in here. We won't make too much fun of you.
Well, he's saying to eat the scroll and then go speak to the house of Israel. So this is a word from the Lord.
Right.
And then it's also described as sweet as honey. So it's a good word from the Lord.
Is any word from the Lord, now this is a trick question, is any word from the Lord not good?
Depends on the receiver.
What's that?
It depends on what the receiver
thinks. Okay. But if you come back and describe it in a different way, is anything from the Lord not just? Is anything from the Lord not truth? Is anything from the Lord not necessary? Everything he says is just. Everything he says is truth. Everything he says is necessary. He doesn't mess around when he speaks. Everything that comes out of his mouth, Jesus said this when the devil was tempting him. What did he say about the word of God? Man shall not live by bread alone. Oh, I had some of that bread this morning. It was good bread, toasted with butter, orange marmalade. Oh, it was good. You know what's going to happen in a while? I'm going to need some more. But when the word of the Lord fills you up, you don't need anything besides that. The word of the Lord is sufficient to fill us. We can live by that alone. That's the only thing we need. Ezekiel is getting the word of the Lord, and God is telling him, eat this, digest it. One of the problems I have as a preacher is trying not to be tied to notes and trying to remember what I want to say. And it's a constant battle, because this thing up here doesn't retain everything like I wish it did. And this thing down here doesn't always get out what's up here. And it, so you can imagine, you know, sometimes you want to say something and you just don't have the words. You just can't put your thoughts together. There's something you want to say, but I remember this, but I just can't recall it now. And what God is doing for Ezekiel is letting him know, I'm giving you the word, and you're going to know it. You're going to digest it. It's going to be in you. It's going to be part of you. And when I send you to my people who need to be addressed, you're going to know what to say and how to say it. Remember what Jesus said to the apostles in John chapter 14 and chapter 16? What was he going to do for them that was along the same line? He's going to send them his Holy Spirit. Guess who's involved here? The Spirit of God is lifting Ezekiel and setting him upright. And God said, I will send you my Spirit. He will help you remember everything that I have taught you. He was with them for 3 years. How'd you like to be able to remember everything you learned in the last 3 years that was significant? and be able to use it when the time came. That's what we're looking at here with the scroll and with Ezekiel. Any questions about this first section? Yes, Terry. Cotton candy. Maybe. And remember, this is a vision. We can do things, and I don't know, I've never had a vision like the prophets had visions, but I've had dreams. And you can do crazy things in your dreams, and you don't even know how you're doing it or think about how you're doing it. I really like it when I fly in my dream. And I don't mean in an airplane, I mean just, I'm cruising. And if, hey. And other times I don't fly. Anybody else do this? You take a step, and when you take a step, it's like you're gently, easily jumping 100 yards. And yeah, this is so real. I could, and I wake up and I think, yeah, I'll do this when I go to the kitchen. Watch my head on the doorway there. I don't know. It's crazy what you can dream, what is in your mind. But this is something God is giving him. He's giving him this vision of a scroll, and I doubt Ezekiel has ever thought when he's seen a scroll before, oh, I think that ought to be good to eat. I think I'll eat that. This is a message. This has meaning. Just like other things God will give him to do will have meaning. He's going to lay on his side, on both sides, for different periods of time, and he's going to take a brick and set it in front of him. And that brick is going to represent Jerusalem. He's going to be playing army while he's laying in the dirt on his side to show the people of Israel what's going to happen to Jerusalem while they're gone in exile. He's going to have him take some baggage and dig a hole in a wall and sneak out that hole so people can see this is people trying to escape Jerusalem. He's going to eat bread that you shouldn't eat, that's defiled bread, to show the exiles this is what our countrymen are eating back in Jerusalem. It's all because of our own wickedness, our own evil. This is our punishment. Lamentations, mournings, woes. This is what God is giving to Ezekiel to give to his people. Good question, Terry. Anything else? Anybody got anything else? Yes.
Real quickly, as strange as it is to think about eating the scroll, David wrote in Psalm 34 about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good.
Yes.
And so it's not really foreign language to the reader. You know what I mean? They'd have heard something similar to this or like this before, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense. As a matter of fact, let's see. In Jeremiah 15, and Jeremiah is writing about the same time as Ezekiel. He's writing, trying to warn Israel before the boom is lowered. And this is what Jeremiah says in chapter 15, verses 15 and following. You who know, O Lord, and I don't mean to stop too many times and make commentary, but how many times in your prayers have you been talking about a situation and you say, you know what's going on, you see everything, you don't have to explain anything. Isn't it great we don't have to explain anything to God? You can. It feels good to do that, to explain to him, to talk about details, but he already knows. And so Jeremiah is saying, you know, O Lord, remember me, take notice of me, and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. Do not, in view of your patience, take me away. Know that for your sake I endure reproach. This is the same kind of thing that Ezekiel is going to be going through when he starts to bring God's word to the people. They'll persecute him. Your words were found, and what did he do? That I ate them. You think that's literal? Or do you think he's speaking in a figurative way to help us understand? He takes them in. You can't take anything in any more than by eating it. It goes into your system. What is your system designed to do with everything you eat? Your system, your digestive system is designed that if you put food in there, it's going to take that food and turn it into you. That's what you're going to become. What's the old saying? You are what you eat. And if Jeremiah and Ezekiel are in taking in the word of God, they are becoming that in their lives. And I don't think this only applies to those who are prophets or preachers. I think it applies to all of us. You take in the word of God, it's going to feed your soul. It's going to feed you in a way, and you're going to become that if you take it in as someone who has regard for God. All right, any more on that? Great point. You also see this in Revelation, by the way. Yes, Randy.
I'm thinking maybe a foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper a little bit. John says that in the Word became flesh, and Jesus at the Last Supper says, take this bread and eat it.
Yes.
Flesh.
How else does Jesus refer to himself with regard to that? I am the bread of life. What did he tell the woman at the well? I want to give you living water. There's all these imageries, all of this imagery of things that you take in. You eat or you drink it, and you become part of that. It becomes part of you. And so God is telling Ezekiel, here's my word. Eat this. Digest it. Let it become part of you. And it's so much easier to talk to someone about something that you have been involved with so deeply and so intimately that it becomes part of you, and you don't even have to think about it. From time to time, I need to have another one. I have a small class on speaking, usually involving the Lord's Supper for men, usually. Guess I could have another one and have women, but you got women who have to do your own thing, you know. But the first thing I have every student do is get up in front of the class and tell us something about yourself. Does that make sense? What do you know more about than yourself? And even if you can't think of anything to say when you get up there, all we have to do is ask you one question. What do you like to do for fun? What do you like to do on the weekends? And people start talking because, well, they know themselves. If we could come to know God as well as we know ourselves, spend time with him, spend time in his word, understand what he says, dig into it, really trying to figure out what he's saying, not just for the intellectual value of knowing, but for the personal value of understanding, just like you would in a marriage. You try to get to know your wife, try to get to know your husband. And there's great value in that, in every relationship. All right. Anything else? I'm asking you. I keep coming up with stuff, but all right, let's go to the next section. We're moving on. Does your worksheet say 3 verses 4 to 27? Okay, good, because I had made a mistake earlier, and I think I got that corrected. So, we're not going to take the time to read this. We just don't have time to read through the entire book. So here's what we're going to do. I've given you these sections. You can kind of peruse. Y'all know what peruse means, don't you? And you didn't know I knew words like that. Going to peruse that as I ask the questions, and we'll just talk about some of these things. Chapter 3, verse 4. Right after he's eaten the scroll, he is told to go to the house of Israel. Go to the house of Israel and speak to them. Drop down to verse 7. Though they will not listen. It said that before. They won't listen to you. So why send a prophet if they're not going to listen? Generally speaking, they won't listen. How well received is the gospel in our culture? And we would think, oh, normally we think of all the rejections. But what else is happening all the time? Individuals are accepting. People are listening. People are saying, that's the truth. I need to do something about that. You're here Because at some point you said, that's the truth. I got to do something about that. And that's why you're here. That's why you keep coming. You believe in God. You believe in His Word. So, though they will not listen to Ezekiel, God tells him that He will make his blank as hard as theirs. His face as hard as theirs. And his blank as hard as theirs. His forehead. And it will be as hard as flint. What's flint? It's a hard rock. Do you remember Fred? And Barney? And Wilma? And Betty? The flint stones. That's a hard rock. Is it literal? Is God actually going to make his face as hard as a rock? What's he saying? I'm going to keep you going, brother. I'm going to make you strong no matter what they do. You're going to be just as hard and stubborn for the truth as they are stubborn for evil. You're going to be just as solid in your stance for what I'm telling you as they are solid in their rebellion. I'm going to make your face and your forehead hard as flint. So don't you worry about anything. See. This is a big section, 14 down through 21. The blank lifts Ezekiel. The Spirit lifts Ezekiel and takes him to the exiles. He's taken to the exiles by the river Chebar, where he sits for blank days. 7 days. Who else in the Bible sat for 7 days without saying anything? Remember in Job? Job's friends came to sit and commiserate with Job. And that was wonderful when they sat in silence for 7 days. But what happened on the 8th day? They ruined it. They started speaking in their ignorance. But Ezekiel won't do that. Why won't he do that? Because he's eaten the scroll. He's ingested the word of God. It's become part of him. And that's what he's going to speak when his time comes. So for 7 days he sits with them in silence. And it says it caused great consternation among them. And perhaps the consternation, I'm being presumptuous here a little bit, perhaps that consternation came because he has gone there embittered in the blank of his spirit, in the rage of his spirit. And the blank of the Lord was strong on him. The hand of the Lord was strong on him. What does it mean he went in the rage of his spirit? When you see the news and someone is murdered by a criminal who's been arrested 14 times and turned loose again and again and again, what happens in your mind? I don't care about that criminal. I want to find that judge. And I will say this in a Bible class, beat him with a ball bat. Just wail the tar out of him. You're endangering people. You're killing people. This is what's happening because of what you're doing, and you're the one who's supposed to take responsibility to prevent this happening in society. You are our wall between us and evil. And instead, you're creating doorways for evil to get through. That's just one element of evil in our society, in our culture. One of your kids ever come home from school having been bullied? Unchristian thoughts go through your mind. You want to tear down the hallways, knock everybody out of the way just so you can get to that one kid that's been unjustly mean to yours. This is God, and this is God who has given his word and his mindset to Ezekiel through that scroll. It's not just the word of God, his instruction, his command. It's the way God thinks. That's what's in that scroll. I believe And so when you study the Bible, you start to think like God thinks, if you're open to that suggestion. And the more you think like God, the more angry you become at sin. Remember Peter writing about Lot? What did Peter say about Lot? His righteous soul was vexed at all the evil that went on around him. And so I would encourage myself and you too, don't let all the bad stuff that's happening just become something you get used to. Oh, yeah, that's normal. People get murdered. Don't let that happen. There's nothing wrong with being angry about sin. Be angry. Don't sin. But be angry about sin. Jesus was angry about sin. And so is God. And Ezekiel is now in a rage. All right, at the end of the 7 days, the Lord tells him that he has appointed him as a blank, a watchman to the house of Israel. What was a watchman? What did they have usually on the corners of the walls that they built around cities? They had towers, and those were watchtowers. They weren't just built for fun. So, let's get up there and get a nice view. Yeah, you need a nice view so you can see when the enemy's coming. They didn't have telephones and radios and all these great ways of communication today. You get up on the watchtower and you keep an eye out. And you say, hey, there's a lot of dust rising up. A lot of dust. What is going on over there? Send a rider. And they send out a rider to find out what's ahead because the watchman saw something in the distance. And so the rider comes back. Hey, there's an army coming. They don't mean any good. So now you can start preparing. That's what watchmen were for. I just thought I should have looked up that passage where there was a runner coming, sent out with a message, and he was coming, and the watchman's up on the tower looking and said, looks like he's running the way so-and-so runs, because they were familiar with the way these guys would run. And you can do that too if you watch enough guys run. So the watchman. Watchman to the house of Israel. If Ezekiel fails to blank the wicked man, to warn, if he fails to warn the wicked man and the wicked man blanks in his sin, dies in his sin, that his blood will be required at Ezekiel's hand. If, however, the wicked man refuses to turn from his way, Ezekiel will have blanked himself, delivered himself, as long as he has warned the wicked man. Did Ezekiel ask for this? Well, no, he didn't ask for it. He's just hanging out among the exiles by the river Chebar in Babylon, and this vision comes to him, and God speaks to him, says, hey, I got a job for you. He didn't go down to the employment office and sign up to work for God. But what is he? What is Ezekiel? He's a priest. He's already signed up. And as a matter of fact, if you know the truth, what are you? You're signed up. You have a moral obligation to warn people about coming evil. But this is a very specific commission that God is giving to Ezekiel. I'm appointing you. You are a watchman. And he's supposed to warn those of the evil that they are doing. This isn't a warning about an evil army coming. This is a watchman on a tower saying, you are doing evil. You need to stop. Correct yourself. Section D. This is chapter 3, verses 22 to 27. Same vision, all a vision. Ezekiel is told to go to the blank where the blank of the Lord is standing. The plain. It doesn't say which plain, but you remember when you read Daniel, there's a great image built by King Nebuchadnezzar. It's an image that's covered with gold, and it's 90 feet tall, and it is on the plains of Dura. That's what it says. And Daniel is in Babylon, so this may be the plains of Dura, that place where that image will be set. Who knows? It's just a plain, a flat place. But on that plain, or where that plain is, the blank of the Lord is standing. the glory of the Lord. Now get the contrast. Nebuchadnezzar is going to build a 90-foot tall image, and he's going to demand everybody bow down to it. But Ezekiel is supposed to go to this plain where the glory of God is standing, and you automatically see the contrast. The glory of the Lord is standing there, which is the blank glory he saw by the river Chebar. Now, this is kind of a tricky thing. The same glory. That's what he sees. Nothing different. Nothing's changed. It's the same God over here that I saw back there in this vision. The same glory. Remember that glory? The expanse appearing to be supported by what? Four living beings that turn out to be cherubs. How many wings have they got? They got four wings. Four. Now, if you're thinking about six, remember back to Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah wasn't saying cherubim, he was saying seraphim. And we sang a song. I don't know what that song was. Should have looked it up. Didn't think about it. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before him. These are angelic beings, and there are different kinds of them. Some have six wings, some have four wings. These are cherubs. They've got four wings. And this is part of that vision that Ezekiel is seeing. Where are we here? The Spirit, this is still in D, third line down. The Spirit tells him to shut himself up in his house, and that his fellow Israelites will put blanks on him, ropes on him, so that he cannot go out among them. Imagine that. Why are they in Babylon? Because they've been behaving stupidly. And they're all the way in a foreign country, taken captive, brought there by force, and nobody's looking around going, you know, maybe we ought to repent. Maybe we ought to change our ways. Maybe we ought to seek God out. Instead, God sends them a prophet, and I don't know if this is literal or this is part of a vision for Ezekiel to understand, but he says, you go to your house, you shut yourself up, and that's where his fellow Israelites are going to put ropes on him so he can't go out and speak to them. Furthermore, God said he would make his blank, his tongue, cleave to the blank of his mouth, roof of his mouth. Put that tongue up there and see how much he can talk. That's just not easy to talk with. Not only can you not talk, it sounds really funny. So, who's going to listen to you doing it? Nobody. And who's making that happen? God. You ever been upset with your children and you know you're going to say something to them, but you're not going to say it right now? You're going to wait a while so that when you speak, your words will have the most impact. I wonder if that's what God is doing here. He's allowing, he's showing Ezekiel in this vision and telling him, you go to your house, they're going to put ropes on you, you can't go out and speak, and I am going to make your tongue go to the roof of your mouth so that you can't speak. And then what's going to happen? Well, make his tongue cleave to the roof of his mouth so that he could not speak until the Lord opens his mouth to say. And what does he say? Thus says the Lord God, he who blanks, he who hears, let him hear, and he who blanks, refuses, let him refuse. Does that sound familiar to you? Anybody else say something like that? Jesus would teach, especially parables, and then he would say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Was he talking about these? Or was he talking about something a little deeper? We've all got ears. Generally speaking, everybody can hear, but not everybody hears. And that's what God is talking about here. Not everybody listens. Not everybody takes it in. With reference to God, we see the word blank used. And here are some references so you can kind of collect those up. Glory. Glory. Chapter 1, verse 28, 312, and 323. And we're going to see that a whole bunch more throughout Ezekiel's prophecy. As a matter of fact, One of the saddest things in all of Scripture is when we see the glory of God at the threshold of the temple, and what will it do? In this vision, the glory of God will go to the threshold of the temple in Jerusalem, and then he will rise up and go away. If that doesn't get your attention as an Israelite, nothing will. What was in the temple? The Holy of Holies was in the temple. What was in the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant was in the Holy of Holies. What was overshadowing the Ark of the Covenant? Two cherubs, two cherubim. What took place on the top of the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat was there. If the Spirit of God leaves the temple, so does mercy, so does forgiveness, so does long-suffering, so does patience. If the Spirit of God leaves, you have no hope. Remember what was written on that scroll? Written inside and outside on both sides? Lamentations, mournings, and woes. Ezekiel is seeing the glory of God. And I ask the question here, why do you suppose he is being shown this glory? Where is he? He's in Babylon among the exiles. What do the Babylonians worship? They worship idols. Now, they might be plated with gold. They might be pretty fancy in how they're made. They might look kind of cool. But they are nothing compared to the glory of God that Ezekiel is witnessing here. Same God, same glory. Doesn't matter. You sin, you go into exile. I haven't changed. I'm still here. I was there at the temple, but now I'm with you in exile. As we close, well, just the last one real quick, and then we'll go to something else. God calls his people blank in 2:3, 2:4, 2:5, 2:6, 2:7, 2:8, 3:9, and 26. Rebellious, over and over and over. And that's not the only word he uses. Obstinate, stubborn, rebellious. It's like, I'm tired of saying rebellious. I'm going to say obstinate for a while. That's the way they were. What does the word Israel mean? The name Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel means he who struggles with God. When was Jacob's name changed? When he wrestled with an angel. He was wrestling with an angel. And the angel said, your name's not going to be Jacob anymore. It's going to be Israel, he who struggles with God. And that's what is happening right here. It's gotten to the point where God has him pinned. And he's slapping him up. Anyway, trying to get him to change. All right. Go to Jeremiah chapter 29. Let's close with this. Hal's given us 5 minutes. Read with me here. Jeremiah 29, verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Sound familiar? Two prophets, same thing. Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Where did Ezekiel go? Where was he told to go? Shut himself up in his house? Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. You ever heard that passage before? Well, this is where it comes from. This is its context. God says, you've been so wicked and evil. You've been so unfaithful to me. I'm sending you into exile. But after 70 years, I'm bringing a remnant back. We'll see the word remnant throughout Ezekiel. God's working with the faithful few. Doesn't matter what's going on all around you. What are you doing? God sees you. God pays attention to you. No matter what's going on in the nation, in the state, in the county, in the city, in your family, no matter what they do, what are you doing? Don't let yourself become like them. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What did God give Ezekiel that would renew his mind if it hadn't already been renewed? He gave him the scroll. Eat this scroll. This is my word. My word's on the front and back of it. You eat that. It'll be sweet in your mouth and digest that. Last little bit of this. Then you will call upon me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. In my estimation, Ezekiel's vision of the glory of God is not just for him, but it's for Israel. When the Israelites read this and they say, well, there's the glory of God. He's showing the glory of God to Ezekiel, and he's here among the exiles. I'm in a foreign nation, but I'm still watched over by God. Did it not impress you when you read about Daniel, assuming you read in Daniel, and you see from the get-go, the Persian king says, I'm going to give you some stuff to eat. And what does Daniel say along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Oh, I'm sorry, Your Majesty, we can't eat that. He's not actually talking to the king. He's talking to the one who's the king's appointed to be over them. He says, we can't eat that. Just give us vegetables and water and see how that turns out. And after the trial period, they were in better shape than all the guys that ate the king's stuff. So, oh, these are wise young men. Stick with what God says. It will be good for you in so many ways. And that's the message that God is saying here. I've sent you into exile, but listen to me. Keep on living. Build a house. Start your family. Build a garden. You don't build a garden. You plant a garden. But live your life, because in 70 years I'm bringing you back. Don't let your number decrease. Increase your numbers. Be fruitful. Multiply.
Came out of other countries after World War II.
Correct.
So it took that long to bring them all back.
If anybody doesn't believe in the biblical God, I would tell them, you do a little research on the nation of Israel, and you see what they have been through and what they have done. And even while they deny that Jesus is the Christ, God is still blessing them and watching over them and keeping them, because they are the strongest evidence I know of, other than the resurrection, that God keeps his word. And that's what he's doing with Ezekiel. Anybody got anything? Good, because we're out of time. Love you guys.